When I was growing up, when I was young, you know, maybe, I don't know, 4 years old or whatever, 5 years old, 6 years old, somewhere in there, I was afraid of the dark. Okay? Anybody else? Anybody else afraid of the dark? Maybe a couple people, all right? You know, my mom and dad would say, hey, Greg, go downstairs and take a shower. We lived in a, you know, kind of a modest house, and there was one bathroom in the house. My dad put a second bathroom, like, in the basement, and so the boys were supposed to go downstairs, but I was afraid. You know, he'd say, go downstairs, take a shower. I'd be like, no. And, you know, you're like a man. You're 5 years old. And when you're five, you don't want to say, I'm afraid, because, you know, you're supposed to be a man. So why don't you want to take a shower? Well, I don't know. You know, are you afraid? And I wouldn't say anything. You know, sometimes at night, I would actually wake up, you know, we little two-bedroom house, parents' bedroom just around the corner. I would get out of bed. I would go up to my parents' room. I'd walk in at night, and I would never go to my dad's side. I would go to my mom's side, and I'd say, hey, Mom, I'm afraid. And she would say, Greg, afraid of what? I would say, the dark. You know what? I'm just afraid. And, you know, she would walk me back to my bed. She would sit on the foot of the bed, and she would talk to me and, you know, whatever. And that would comfort me. So question, guys, what was I afraid of? Even if that's not true of you, I think you can relate to it. What was I afraid of? Darkness. What about the darkness? Hiding. Like, what could be hiding?
Monsters.
Yeah. You know, there could be a monster under my bed. You know, it's interesting. You might say, did you ever wonder that there could be a monster under your bed in the daytime? Never crossed my mind. I mean, the same monster could be there in the daytime, but it didn't bother me. For some reason, I could walk into my bedroom daytime. I'm fine. But at nighttime, I would actually think there's a monster under my bed. I would sometimes think there's a bad guy outside my window. And my mom would say, well, let's just look out. I'm not looking. What if the bad guy's there, Mom? And in the daytime, I would go into the basement. No problem at all. I could walk into the basement and just, you know, do whatever. There's a ping pong table down there, whatever. After the sun went down and it was dark, I would not go in the basement. Darkness. There's something about darkness, right? And we just all, I think, understand that, even if you're not afraid of it the same way I was. I'll change it just slightly. If I were to ask you, what is nightlife? What's nightlife? What is night like? Hey, is there any nightlife in this city? What's nightlife? Going to church. Yeah, not on Wednesday night. Oh, Don, I'm sorry. You said going to a bar. I misunderstood. Okay. I thought you meant going to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Yeah, we all know what nightlife is. Are there any bars, any clubs, any places you could hang out and do things, certain things? The kind of things you might not want to do during the day, but the kind of things that we kind of associate with night. I'll just do one more. Do you know of anyone that has a dark side? What does that mean? Does that mean when they're really happy? No, we all know that. If you do have a dark side, it's not your good side. So when we think of darkness, when we think of night, we tend to think of the boogeyman, bad guys, evil things. And the best I know, that's pretty universal. And so the Bible can stay with those ideas, and everybody knows what it's talking about. Tonight we're going to talk about, as Dale kind of mentioned as we open with that first song, Jesus is the light of the world. This is actually lesson 42 on names and titles of Jesus, okay? So we're just going to walk through some things. And, you know, it's a kind of lesson, I think, that for many of us, we won't necessarily learn anything. If you've been a Christian for a while, I don't think there will necessarily be anything new, but these are all good things for us to keep thinking about and meditating on, okay? So, and you can follow along in your handout. I have it up on the screen as well. What do we know from the Bible? First of all, we know, according to the Bible, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And that verse, for whatever reason, has always encouraged me. As many of you would not know, Ward would know, but many people, Rick would know. If you take Greek 101, it The first book you translate is 1 John because it's the easiest Greek. And I can still remember translating this and just meditating on it. Meskatia, no darkness. There is no darkness in God. None at all. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. You know, we think about evil. We think about sin. We think about how people hurt others, own selfish reasons, take advantage of people, lie to people, and we've all experienced that, and God's not like that. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So we start with 1 John 1:5 tonight. So you say, okay, but I thought this was supposed to be about like names and titles of Jesus. It is. That was kind of our intro point to get us to point number two. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, came as light into a world of darkness. And that's John chapter 3 and verse 19. John says in John 3:19, this is the judgment. And that may be the idea of this is the verdict. This is the conclusion, the judgment we've come to. That the light, that's Jesus, has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Guys, Jesus is God in the flesh. So the world is darkness. God is light. God becomes a man, God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, comes into the world. And everybody wrapped their arms around Him and welcomed Him, right? No, they killed Him. They put Him on a cross. You say, why would you do that? Because men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. And that's true of all people, apart from God's grace. So God is light. In Him there's no darkness. God becomes man in the person of Jesus, and He comes as light into a world of darkness. And our world is a world of darkness. It's always been that way. You say, okay, then why did Jesus come as the light? That's number three. Jesus came so that believers would not remain in darkness. And that's John chapter 12 and verse 46. Notice here in John 12:46 what Jesus says. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Apart from Jesus, every single person is in darkness. And the only way not to be in that darkness is to believe in the light, is to believe in Jesus, because Jesus is the light. Okay, so God is light, no darkness in Him. God becomes a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes into this world of darkness so that you can believe in Him, that He's God in the flesh, that He lived a sinless life, that He died on a cross in your place, and that He rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, is seated right now at the Father's right hand. And if that's your faith, then you are no longer in the darkness. Number four, Jesus came, we would say, to give sight to the blind. So the whole world's in darkness. We can think of it this way. The whole world is blind. And none of us can see apart from Jesus. Jesus comes to give sight to the blind. That's physically true. And I was thinking through this, and I thought about the man that was born blind. I think many of us know the story there in John chapter 9. And we'll start at verse 5. I'll put just a couple of verses from that up on the screen. Jesus says in John 9:5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then immediately after John 9:5, of course, would be verse 6. But you might not realize what verse 6 says. When He said this, Jesus spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, applied the clay to His eyes, that is the man's eyes who was born blind, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Here is Jesus supernaturally giving sight to a man born blind. Because that's what Jesus does. But Jesus not only physically gives sight to blind people, I trust all of us tonight are rejoicing that Jesus gives spiritual light to spiritually blind people, because we're all spiritually blind unless we put our faith in Jesus, who is the light. So Jesus comes to give spiritually blind people like us the ability to see. That's John chapter 8 and verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, not a perfect illustration, but when I was young, afraid of the dark, it was just frightening. Walking in the darkness. You know, you're young. Are there monsters? Are there bad guys? I know that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense now, but at that age, it seemed very real. And you're walking in the darkness. Now, some of us that are older, we might not be afraid of, bad guys at night. We're afraid of just tripping over stuff, you know. And sometimes I find myself, you know, we always have our phones with us. I'm so glad I have a light because, Nancy will frequently be in bed before I go to sleep. And so, you know, I don't want to like turn on a lamp and wake her up. So as I go in the bedroom, I just put my light on. And because I'm watching, because I don't want to trip on something. See, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So we put these four things together. God is light, mace gotia, no darkness in him. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, came as light into a world of darkness. The whole world's in darkness. We just sang that, and that was certainly an appropriate song to open with. You say, so why did Jesus come? Number three, so that believers, those of us who believe in Jesus, would not remain in the darkness. Thus, Jesus came to give sight to the blind. So I would love to think that everyone in this room is a follower of Jesus. I hope that's true. And if you're not yet, I hope one day you will be. Because if you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't really realize this, but you're blind. Spiritually blind. And I know you might say, I don't feel that way at all. And I understand that. Before I was a believer, I probably would have pushed back too. But once you see the light, you realize I really was blind. You say, okay, so what do we do now? Well, we could just stop here and say, let's be thankful. But we do have one final point. Jesus's followers glorify God by letting their light shine. And that'll be the last text we look at, Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Dale actually thought about this earlier this week. I don't know, this little light of mine, I don't know if that would be appropriate. But Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, right? If you have a city on a hill, especially in the ancient world, back before there were like cities everywhere, there would be lights in a city, and you could look and you would go, yeah, there it is. Maybe some of you that have flown, when you're going over a major city like Charlotte or something, you could see it. It's lit up at night. A city set on a hill, it can't be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it on under a basket, but put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. I can remember Dr. Custer explaining the lamp things to us. Because again, I'm usually thinking of like turning on a light bulb thing. This would be a basic oil lamp, a small lamp, and you would light the wick. It would burn slow, and you would take that lamp in the ancient world and you would put it on a lampstand so that it can give light to everybody in the house. That's what you do with the lamp. I mean, you wouldn't light a lamp and put a basket over it. That would be foolish. You wouldn't put your faith in Jesus and not let your light shine. That would be foolish. I mean, that makes no sense. So Jesus says in the very next verse, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So those of us who would acknowledge, admit, confess, profess that yes, we used to be in the darkness, and we put our faith in Jesus, and Jesus brought us light. And we used to be spiritually blind, but now we can see. So now God is calling us to let our light shine before men so that people could see our good works. Like the little kiddie song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." That's why, like on your street, right? Everybody thinks you're the most awesome person on the street. We good? Good? Everybody knows if there's one guy I can ask to do me a favor, it's me. If there's one person who's always helping other people out, always offering to lend a hand, it's me. If it's one person who never complains about anything, right? About the pool party the family next to us has, right? It's me, right? I mean, even just the other day, I was picking up a beer can from the side of our yard after, and they're college kids, after a pool party. And I think, okay, so, you know, I pick up a beer can, not a big deal. You say, so am I going to go and talk to them about it? Well, how is that going to let my light shine? No light in that. I'm looking for the kids when they're out so I could say, hey, how's school going? What are you majoring in? When are you going to graduate? Hey, I hope you guys had fun last night. And just good to see you. Hope it's a good end of the semester. Tell your mom and dad I said, hey, right? That's how we're all living, right? Because that's how we're living at work, right? Everybody knows the nicest guy, the nicest girl in the cubicle or whatever. It's you, it's me. Because, see, we used to be blind. But then Jesus came. And now we have light. And He has called us to let our light shine, so that people might see our good works and then glorify our Father who is in heaven. By God's grace, may He help us to do that. Let's pray.